the whole team should have stayed. It went to one.
He just has it. 5 seconds to go. Bridges for three. Yeah!
Oh! The big star delivers. The big star delivers. And that's what you want him, the big star.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Spartans, Wolverines, and Beards podcast. This is our second week of quarantine podcasting, and now our first week of the state of Michigan's shelter in place, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah, yep.
So you'll notice Lane still sounds a little funny. He's calling in for the pod so we can keep practicing our social distancing like good little American citizens. And just thank you guys for coming back and listening. We will continue to try to do these podcasts to break the monotony of everything. I mean, we know everybody's quarantined together, and sometimes you just need a reprieve to get away. So hopefully you can take a listen to us, and it helps break your day up a little bit. Before we get started on this week's episode, we want to remind you to like, share, follow, subscribe on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that, and whatever streaming device you're listening to us on, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, whatever you're on, please follow us, subscribe, rate, review, all that. It helps get it out there. And the most important thing is spread via word of mouth. So obviously you don't see people right now because we're social distancing, but you can still text somebody or tell somebody that you listen to us, and that helps us greatly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know myself right now I'm running out of things to listen to or watch. So, I mean, if you're in the same boat or somebody's asking you, hey, what's something good to watch or listen to right now, a shout-out would be phenomenal.
Yeah, we would greatly appreciate it. I know I was just watching a rerun of a Michigan basketball game from 2017. That's how desperate we are right now. So the struggle is real. But for all of you guys that are challenge and the challenge fans on MTV, that does start next week, and that was all pre-recorded, so we'll get that full season no matter what.
I'm ready for it, man.
So you'll at least get some kind of physical activity on TV starting, what, next Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah. So crazy to think that's going to be the athletic world right now.
Yeah, and that is probably going to be it. That's the sad part.
Yeah.
So, but kind of looking at this week, what we're going to do, we have a little bit to talk about with the NFL and the Lions. The Lions have been extremely active in this free agency and trade market before the draft. We'll share kind of our thoughts on what they've done to this point and kind of where we think they go with the draft now, and if this has any signs of maybe where they're leaning with the draft. And then our kind of off-the-wall segment we're going to do this week, something I've been wanting to do. We talked about kind of when we first started this, when the summer kind of came around and we were a little lull in sports. Now, we didn't know it was going to be this kind of a lull, but is we're going to each take a little bit of time, and if we could be, the commissioner, if you could have a magic wand and control one thing in any sport, you could change anything you wanted, you had the reins for one day, what would it be? So we've each kind of tossed it around for a few days, and we've got our topics. I've had mine for a while, and we're going to kind of talk through that a little bit and have a little bit of fun back and forth with those, and just something a little different. So I think with that, I'm going to throw it over to Lane, and he's going to kind of run down, I guess, all of the Lions news. There's quite a bit of it right now. I mean, they've been pretty active. So, Lane, why don't you go ahead and just dive in?
Yeah, so I'll start off with really the oldest to the newest, and the oldest news is pretty much right after, I think it was right after we did last week's pod. The Lions have announced they were signing Desmond Trufant, former Atlanta Falcon, first-round pick, which was, at the time, on paper, you will look at Desmond Trufant on one side and Darius Slay on the other side of the ball, and you would think to yourself, holy crap, that's a really, really good secondary.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that news broke, you probably had, probably 5-10 minutes of silence, and then Slade tweets and says, "Oh, good, glad he got his money. Maybe now they can get rid of me or get mine or
my trade deal. I think it was my trade deal. Can move my trade deal along or something like that." Yeah, I remember seeing the tweet.
Yeah, and as soon as I read that, it was like, shit.
Yeah, then things turned again.
So the Lions ended up trading Slay to Philadelphia, I want to say Thursday or Friday.
I think it's been a week, yeah.
And it was for a third and a fifth. And then Slay, of course, signed a pretty team-friendly deal with Philly to extend his contract. So when you look at that, there's so many mixed emotions on it. Number one is the potential of what could have been for the Lions. I mean, they realistically looked really good on paper, and then they lose Slay, and then you think, well, what's the draft implications from that? Which we'll get to that in a few minutes. But at the end of the day, if Slay didn't want to be in Detroit, then good riddance. How many of us can go on social media and absolutely rip our employer and expect to still have a job?
Right.
Does it suck? Yeah. I mean, I think it sucked a lot because, I mean, he is an all-pro. But if you don't want to be there, then there's the door.
Right. You're not helping anybody.
Exactly. And it wasn't a good situation. It was getting worse. And without Slay being in Detroit, now you ask, like, you wonder, well, what's next for the defense? And I think it's all leading up to Bakuda. I think that this move is pretty much guaranteeing Bakuda at 3. I think you have Aluwarwe or whatever the hell his name is. So I might as well just call him, I mean, AO for the time being, because I can't fully pronounce his name. AO Coleman, and then you've got Trufant, and like I said, I think Okuda would very much fit into that second corner spot, in which leads us into today, which the Lions picked up Reggie Ragland, a second-round pick, a former Super Bowl champion with Kansas City Chiefs. Very good, solid tackler, run stopper at our middle linebacker position. So then when you really kind of start to look at everything that has happened with the Detroit Lions offseason, I mean, you really see where they spent all the money on the defense outside of, I'm not even going to pronounce his name, our new right tackle.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very evident they have addressed the weakest point on this team from 2019. And I had seen an interesting tweet, and they said that, you know, Okuda looks to be the sure pick, but what happens if it is different? Because now you have Jamie Collins, Beloy, Ragland. You've got a really solid core now in linebacker.
There's depth for sure.
There's good depth there right now. So, I mean, in all honesty, I don't feel like our defensive line is still pretty weak. And I think you're probably going to see them address that probably in the first two rounds, maybe three. But overall, I mean, if you can tell that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are doing what they need to do right now to try and secure their job.
Yeah, they're trying, if nothing else.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like I said, I hate Detroit Lions Twitter because I feel like they're just some of the most god-awful fans on the face of the earth. But no matter what would have happened, they'd be ripping everything that Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia would be doing this offseason if lose-lose situation if you're like 4 or 5 in that position, and maybe that's their own doing. But I think this season and coming into this draft, I think you have to be optimistic as a Lions fan.
Yeah, I think I thought I saw a tweet that said, and I'm probably wrong on the number, but that something like they had 5 or 6 picks in the top 100 or something like that. And that's big, because you figure top 100, that means those 5 or 6 guys should be contributors within the first year or two. I mean, they don't have to be starters. They don't have to be all pros. They should contribute. So to stockpile that the way they did, that's kind of, you know, the old adage, it's kind of the Patriot way. The Patriots always did that. They're known for that.
And what's going to be real interesting is when it comes closer to the draft, because, I mean, the right now the draft is just so much uncertainty because there's no pro days, there's really nothing.
You're going off game film,
you're going off tape. And I feel like you could get, I feel like this season you're going to have a lot more flop than you normally would, just because you can't do the face-to-face interviews, and you can't conduct the pro days, and you can't have them run your drills.
Right. That's the unknown.
It's going to be an interesting draft.
Yeah, there's so much unknown involved in it.
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's just so much uncertainty with the draft. With the NFL came out today and said, no, we're still holding it at the same time, and we're going to run through it no matter what. So I'm very excited to see what happens with the Lions in the next couple weeks. Would I be surprised at this point if they traded down from 3 to maybe 5 or 6? I would say no, but I feel like 6 is maybe even out of the question since Panthers pick up Teddy Bridgewater.
Who else needs a quarterback?
Unfortunately, the Patriots at 23.
I know that we know Miami at 5, but I mean.
Yeah, Miami at 5. I mean, you could maybe say Tampa. They have somebody back up, Tom Brady.
But I feel like they wouldn't go that high for that. That's a perfect spot right there. If I'm Tampa, I'm jumping all over Jacob Eason.
Yeah, it could happen. And you know, and I misspoke actually earlier. It's actually not the Lions. It's not the Panthers that pick the Chargers, and the Chargers right now don't have a quarterback. So it's going to be interesting because Cam Newton's still a free agent. Was released yesterday. So where he lands next, which supposedly he's a favorite for Miami right now, wherever he lands, I think the other team is. So if he lands in Miami, I think you see the Chargers try to trade up, or vice versa. I like Miami draft capital a lot better, because I feel like if you want your franchise quarterback, you better pay to come and get him.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a good spot to be in, but there's just so much uncertainty with this whole process right now. It's really going to be interesting to see how good is Matt Patricia's staff, as well as Bob Quinn, at identifying talent.
Right. And in my mind, the one thing the Lions can't do, and I know you mentioned like the defensive line being an issue, they cannot reach at 3 for Derrick Brown.
No.
So for some reason Washington has a brain fart and Chase Young is there, then by all means, yes. But Derrick Brown at 3 would be an absolute failure in my mind.
Oh, I completely agree. And Javon Kinlaw yesterday was kind of trolling a little bit, and the Lions made a tweet, like a giveaway, where if you tweeted your last name and a number, they would draw your name and make you a special background for your phone. Well, Kinlaw tweeted them and said, Kinlaw 3. So then everybody's blowing up over that, thinking, oh my God, what's this mean? And I feel like either Derrick Brown or Kinlaw 3 is just a massive overreach at this point.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, they're both really good talents. They're going to be starters in the NFL for a long time coming, but...
They're like 10, 11, 12 talent. They're not 1, 2, 3 talent.
Agreed. Because 1, 2, 3 are your perennial Pro Bowl, all NFL-type players, or at least you hope they
Those are supposed to be your cornerstones.
Yep. like he is, because if you're like at least the combine tape and the tape you do have has been good, now he can be an awful grabby, which the NFL is kind of erring away from that. So if he goes to the trade, it's going to be interesting, because we all know that that person loves to run press coverage.
Right. Yeah, I've never been completely sold on Okuda, and I don't know if it's just because he was at Ohio State and there's just that built-in hatred. But I've never been huge on him, and I don't know why.
You know, and that's okay, because, I mean, when we first began the thing, I was seeing Okuda being drafted to us, I was kind of the same way. I mean, it's always risky to take a corner at three.
Right.
I mean, you don't know what he's going to end up at. A lot of people are comparing him to, like, Patrick Peterson, but a little better skill. I don't know. It's just so much uncertainty, and you wish you could get better tape on him right now outside of the combine where he got hurt halfway into it and primetime told him, no, like, sit it out, be done.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be a fun season if it ever happens.
So gun to your head, you're Bob Quinn right now, and you're on the clock. What are you doing?
Well, first thing I'm doing is I'm trying to trade back with Miami or Carolina. Or not Carolina.
Chargers.
L.A. Yeah, to the Chargers. And if they don't bite, then I'm taking Okuda at three. Because I feel like he is, if everything is as good as he's supposed to be and as everything has looked, he could be that cornerstone corner for you. And he could be a lockdown corner for years to come.
Right. So, with all the moves with, like, Ragland and everybody at linebacker, is Simmons done? Like, is that, like, basically saying he's not a thing anymore?
You see, and I want to say yes, but at the same time, I mean, it makes so much sense for them to get Simmons and say, look at all the depths we've got, look at all the viable linebacker core, what's to say that they don't throw Simmons in at a hybrid position and just let him
just run around and make plays.
Yeah, exactly.
I almost like that idea anymore.
Yeah, you know, I do, and the only thing that worries me, and I've said it a lot, is that if this is potentially Matt Patricia's last year, and Matt, he's a very much a Matt Patricia-type player, what you have to have the right defensive coordinator that can utilize his talent.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
And that scares me, because if you know Patricia's going to be there for the next 5-10 years, then yeah, that's a great pick. But with so much uncertainty right now, man, I don't know if I could pull the trigger.
Right. Yeah, I get it. I guess we'll see. That time is coming soon.
Yeah, I think April 23rd.
Something like that. That sounds right.
We need to get this everything lifted so we can do our draft special.
There you go. You got anything else NFL before we roll into our new topic, or what do you think?
No, man, let's roll into this puppy.
Okay.
All right, and we are coming into a kind of a newer segment that we've been talking about doing for a while now. Kind of a fun thing to do, and it's actually really good timing because there's really no sport anything happening right now. And basically, it is if we could run one sport per day or one league for a day, what would we do to it and why? So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Jordan, and after Jordan presents his, we'll have some discussion, and the same for me, and we'll go from there. So Jordan, what you got?
So I think this isn't going to come to a surprise to a lot of people, but I went with college football. Specifically, I was going to do the entire NCAA, but I thought college football, and this one, the only reason I went with football in general was because of the one specific topic that I want to touch on. So I would take control of all of college football, and there's a lot of things I would want to do, but for this particular exercise, we'll focus on the one thing that I think would make college football the most entertaining for everybody, and All in all, the one thing I think would be fun, and that is I would eliminate all of the conferences that we currently have. So take the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, Pac-12, all of the Division I conferences. And I would throw all of those teams, so whatever it is, 123 teams or whatever it is that's in Division I, I'd throw them all into a pool so they no longer have conference affiliations. And I would make 8 super conferences that would be done geographically. So kind of the way I at one point I wrote kind of like started writing this all down and I kind of penciled teams in hypothetically, but it got to be way too cumbersome to try to fit it all. Now this model that I came up with, it will not cover all of the teams that are in Division I right now, but I have a solution for that we'll get to at the end. So what this would do is you'd have your 8 super conferences, and the way I kind of saw it was take it like the Little League World Series. They have the 8 regions of the U.S. that they'd use, and kind of think about those regions, and those would be the geographics of your conferences. So the West Coast, you would take California, Oregon, Washington, most of the West Coast, most of what was the Pac-12, and you would throw all of those teams in along with some of the teams from the Mountain West and like the Boise States and the other teams out that way. And what we would do is we would make this, it would become a 13-game schedule and 14 teams per conference. So obviously you play everybody once and you have yourself included in that. So there'd be no conference championship games. Everybody plays everybody. Best record wins, and the winner of each of these super conferences gets a spot in the college football playoff, which would be an 8-team playoff. So there's no wild cards. There's no random teams getting in. There's no two teams like Alabama and Georgia aren't getting in. LSU and Alabama aren't getting in. Win your conference or go home. I think with the college football playoff, we have lost so much value in winning your conference that all of these teams just put cupcake games on their schedule. And you see like the SEC now plays one less conference game and they beat some FCS team. Those days are gone with this.
Yeah.
Like we're not having blowout games. I want 13 games that are all great games from day one, from week one to the end of the season. These are all conference games. You start the season, there's no warming up. Get up and let's go. So there's some of the things I thought about that we run into is people worry about like old traditions and everything. But if you think about it, a lot of those traditions come with the conferences that they were in, which mostly relied geographically. Take Michigan and Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. Those two teams would still fall into the same conference because regionally they're located. So the big problem I ran into also was the state of Texas. So the state of Texas has so many teams that would fall into this category, they could almost be their own conference.
Yeah.
Like, I went through the list, and I think I had, like, 17 teams that I'm, like, legitimately, like, okay, these teams can all compete. They should all probably have their own conference. So I don't have all the teams laid out. I don't have where everybody would fall. But, I mean, you can kind of pinpoint how it would lay out. And, I mean, obviously states like California and Texas and Florida and all that, they have ton more schools. Their regions would be smaller because the states that are more populated with those teams would have more representatives in it. But so then what I would do with all of those teams that are left over, so like you think of the MAC is going to lose a lot of teams in this format because of the geography of it. All you do is you create, instead of like you have Division I, now you have 1A, those teams just become Division 1A teams, and they make a JV conference, I guess is what you would call it, for their region. And the winner of that conference that year, the following year, gets bumped into the big boy conference, and the loser, the last place team, gets bumped down to the JV team conference. So, like, for example, Rutgers in the Big Ten this year got awful. see ya. You're going down to the JV League, and let's say it's Western Michigan was in the lower, and they won it. Now Western's up in the big boy pool, and they can fight for a national title. Kind of like a earn your stripes type of system, where either you win or you go home. I know it. It draws a lot of problems with those smaller schools, and it's obviously a very hypothetical, and it would need a ton more work to ever even be considered. But I just think the idea of it, one, it cleans up the college football playoff. There's no more college football playoff committee. You're not ranking teams. The rankings are gone. It doesn't matter anymore. You're seated. Well, I guess the only rankings they would need is 1 through 8. These 8 teams are in. Now you rank these 8 teams, and they play how that goes. That's the only thing you need with it. There's no more murkiness there. The scheduling issue is gone because you're all playing the same amount of games. You're all playing all conference games. No more FCS opponents. I know a lot of those FCS schools rely on they're called the bye games to help fund their universities. That's great. They can do that with the lower level schools that will still pay that money to play those teams. So, I mean, it's very...
I like that.
Yeah, very, very rough and obviously very hypothetical, but I just think something like that needs to happen with today's world in college football because it's just so anymore the college football season just becomes, well, you lose a game and you're done because if you're not undefeated, you don't have a chance. Well, now if you could lose 2 or 3 games and you could still get in, just win your conference. So I guess what are your thoughts? What do you think? Where are you at with it?
I like the principle behind it. I like the thought of doing, like you said, I believe you said 8 basically super conferences. I like the thought of it being geographically changed up. Now, would you, in this hypothetical scenario, would you be like best overall, or would there be like a conference title game, or how would that?
Nope, there's no conference title game. You're playing every single person in your conference. Best record wins it.
See, no, I like that. Yep. Yeah, I like that.
Make because the regular season count.
Yeah, and you're forcing teams like Bama, LSU, Georgia, you're actually forcing them to put up or shut up.
Yep.
I like it. Like you said, the pitfall to it would be like the smaller schools like a Western or a Central or these MAC schools would really struggle to get in, but I do like it. Basically, it's survival of the fittest, and if you make it and you do well, then you're in, and if not, you're out. And I like that. I think that is a really cool idea. I mean, it would be cool, but I feel like that's something college football would need at this point, because nobody at this point really gives a shit about rankings. It's always who's 1 through 4, and that's all that matters right now.
Right, and it's really who's going to win the SEC, because they're in Clemson's out, like, gets a bypass in, and then who gets in out of the Pac-12 and Big Ten? Like, it's just, that's what the playoff is anymore. It's not even, like, there's no intrigue to it.
No, there's not. It's like, we went from the BCS, which sucked, and then we went to the playoff, and at first it looked good, and then now the playoff has become a joke.
It's the playoff system is by far better, but I think it's like anything else, it can still be better.
Yeah.
So.
No, I like it, man. I really like it. Now, would you still have, like, actual bowl games then?
Yeah, you could still do bowl games. That's another thing I think we need to do away with. 500 teams don't deserve to go to a bowl game. Like, I think you need to get to 8 wins or 7 at the worst to get in. Like, you need 8 wins to get in, and they take 7 and 5 teams if they don't have enough to fill spots, kind of thing. But you'd still have, like, the playoff would still have sites that host it. The other thing I would really, really like to do with it would make the higher seeds in the first round host those games, but that gets a little murky with the whole ranking thing, too. But
I like it. It would be cool, although, I don't know if they did, like, they have the college basketball, they have, like, the ACC tournament, or the ACC Big Ten Invitational, and they have the teams play. That would be something cool to have, like Alabama come to Ohio State in October.
Those crossover games,
that would be cool. I like.
So that's my harebrained, if I had all control idea. That's where I would go with it. So what do you where are you leaning with yours? I think you were saying you're thinking something NFL wise, right?
Yep. You know, I was thinking of doing college football related, shocker. And kind of go something along the line about changing the playoff format. But instead I went with a different kind of more themed, kind of relevant situation for the NFL right now. And as we approach the draft in a few weeks, my thought was, is why don't we copy the NBA and create the NFL draft lottery?
Oh, okay.
So, essentially, what that would be is, in all honesty, it would be a carbon copy of what the NBA does. So, the three worst teams all have a 14% odd to land the number one pick. From then on, the odds drop. So, four would be about 12.5%. The fifth would be about 10.5%. Six would be at 9%. And then from there, you're starting to drop pretty significantly. So by the time you're reaching, you know, 12, 13, 14, your odds are not good at all. The reason I would do that is I feel like there's already a lot of intrigue to the NFL draft, but I would do it right before the start of the combine. So you have the combine start, say, Monday. Sunday night, you do a primetime special, and you do the NFL draft lock. And the reason for that is basically when the season ends, everybody knows. When the college season ends and you're getting into the playoffs, everybody knows who's going to go number one.
Right.
Regardless of any kind of action or anything like that by players. So what this would do is this would inhibit teams to say, okay, I like the Lions. Okay, I have a chance of being, I'm a solidified like they are right now at three. But if they came into this, they could say, well, holy shit, I could get number one. I could go and get Chase Young. And this would, I feel like, inhibit a lot more trade action between teams. So if you're Cincinnati and you've got the number one odds to get Joe Burrow and they do the lottery the night before, you're going into that combine thinking, well, Joe Burrow's my guy. Sunday night, you're like, oh, you drew four. And you're like, oh, shit, now what do I do? And I feel like that would speak so much fluidity and trade talk and players, like, how they're going to perform and how teams are going to scout. I think it would just be a massive curveball. Now, it would probably turn out to be a train wreck for the NFL. But to me, I think it would just add a lot more excitement to the, not only the draft, but the combine process, the pro day process. It would just add so much intrigue to it. Or you could even throw a complete curveball and do it the night before the draft. So you really have no certainty on what the hell's going to happen.
Oh, boy. No, I don't know if I'd go for that idea. I like it before the combine.
Yeah. Which the draft is a complete spitball by my part. It's me jumping on that snowball and just riding that puppy. But no, I think if you did something along those way, and I think it would also put a little more value outside of, hey, I got to make it a Super Bowl. I think it would put the value into the playoff. Because if you're the last two teams that finish in the playoffs, your odds are crap. Like, you're solidified. I'm picking 15 and 16, and that's it. Like, I have no chance at number one or anything like that. So I feel like it would, I mean, the competitive nature is already there for the playoffs, but I feel like it would maybe add a little bit of intrigue. Like, you could go into Wild Card Weekend, and you have, you know, the Saints at three, and they play an 8-8 Packers team, and the Packers fall off the win. Well, shit, now that number three is sitting at 16 coming into the draft. So I just feel like it could be something that would be a curveball, it could be some excitement, and it could inhibit a lot of more trade talk and chatter within the NFL. It could turn it more similar into an NBA-style offseason.
Right. You know, another thing it would do is it would
you'd have another big TV spectacle. You know, the NFL is all about marketing and how they can make more money than what they already do. But think about that. The NBA already has the lotteries on TV. Imagine the NFL doing that on TV the day before the combine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine, say Detroit won number one and got Chase Young, and then say next year they suck, and then they're sitting at number, say, 7, and somehow they win the lottery and they can get at 1. And they pick up Trevor Lawrence now in the old format, they had absolutely zero shot without trading everything away for the next 2-3 years.
Right, yeah, and it would, you know, I think at that point, too, it gives, I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. The trading would be really interesting, like you said, because teams wouldn't know where they're picking, so you have to kind of hold back until your spot. But then, the Bengals are all in on Burrow. Now that goes out the window. They might even be more aggressive to make that move now because they put all their eggs in that basket.
Yep.
I like it. I like the idea.
Yeah. See, and I thought about it, and that would be really cool. But yeah, that for me, if I were Roger Goodell, or if he handed it off to me tomorrow and said, what are you going to do to change it? No strings attached. I would say NFL draft lottery starting 2021.
Now, I don't think you ever get the owners to sign off on it.
Oh, God, no.
They don't want to lose. They never like to lose control. But, I mean, as far as an intrigue and a marketing standpoint, I think it would be great. It's always fun because... Mm-hmm. You never know. I mean, that first team that misses the playoffs, they have a very minimal shot, but it's still a shot.
Right. So, I mean, realistically, you could have a team like Tampa Bay that wasn't that far off, and say they do sign Tom Brady, or they're getting ready to sign Tom Brady, and they do the lottery, and they end up number two. Like, the options there are endless then, because you're like, oh, I could trade back and get him a bunch more weapons, or hey, I could draft an absolute stud and let him sit behind Tom Brady for 2 years. So, I mean, it's something that could be pretty cool and pretty exciting, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think it's more realistic than what I threw out. I think it actually would have potential. Well, I mean, I still stand on the idea that you'd never get the owners to sign off on it. But
oh,
I think,
God, no, they're too money hungry. There'd be no way.
I think
I'm saying, like, in this situation, I'm saying Roger Goodell's put a mute button on all the owners and they have to sign off.
Right. And now, I think as far as the idea of it being potentially possible, yeah, whereas mine, you'd really have to change the whole world around to do that.
Yeah. But it would be cool. These would be cool to do, though. I feel like this would be exciting. They just need to ask them. Yep. They just need to listen to our podcast and ask us, what would you do?
See? Call us. We have ideas. We're inspirational.
We do. Pay us.
Oh, I like it. So I think, you got more on it? I mean, I like the idea. I think it was intriguing. The marketing side of that is huge. And then just the overall intrigue behind that day would be awesome.
Yeah. I really don't have too many other thoughts on it. I really like yours. I think it's something that's very much needed in college football right now, because I'm friggin' tired of seeing Clemson and Bama and every damn playoff imaginable. So, stranger things could happen.
Yeah, if I could do one other thing in college football, it's I along that name, image, likeness thing, just let these players be who they are. If they get money, they get money.
Yeah.
You know, they can't
stay. That would be another one.
They can't sign contracts with agents and stuff or anything, but hey, they still have to be in that realm. But if they want to go do commercials and stuff, go do commercials and stuff. That's fine. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
That'll level the talent curve off a little bit, because not everybody's going to want to go to those SEC schools all the time, because those markets aren't the greatest, whereas you can go to a bigger market. Like a team where, like, a Minnesota would really benefit from that, because they're in the Minneapolis, that whole area, like that's huge from like a marketing standpoint.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, yeah, I mean, you could potentially have a player, a big player, say Moni Bates, for example, and he ends up going to like Rutgers, and he's in the New York City market. Like, yeah. Holy crap.
Yep, exactly. Well, we would, I don't want to get down that rabbit hole. We'll get lost in that. We'll be here for another hour, so.
Right.
I don't know. Do you have anything else, or do you think we can shut this down for this week?
I think we can shut it down. I just want to say thank you to everybody for listening to us. Like we said at the beginning of the cast, to get the opportunity, please tell friends, share us, talk about us, rate us, like us. Do whatever you can to get the name out here, especially this time. I mean, there's really no sports on right now, so it's a good opportunity to say, hey, these guys are still going strong. They're trying to bring some new topics into this. Let's give them a listen. So, I really don't have anything else. Just be safe, be smart, and we'll see you soon. Go green.
Go blue.